turn to Romans chapter 1. And I want to remind you this morning of what the Bible says the problem really is. It's not some political party. It's not some tax code. It's not even the unrighteousness that we see in our land. Look with me at Romans chapter 1 and let's be reminded about what the problem really is. And in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16, what does it say? Would you read it with me? I'm reading in the King James, so you read along with. Some of you have it memorized, but I'd just like you to think about this, and I hope this is the case with you. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Could you say that one more time? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We were talking in Sunday school, and Chip made us think about Peter. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He wasn't a perfect man, neither am I, neither are you. But he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and preached it with power in Acts chapter 2. And we need people in the United States of America that aren't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And wasn't that a beautiful reading this morning? Aren't we glad that Peter could give testimony of how the Lord spoke to him to go to the Gentiles? Aren't we glad that we have been grafted in? Aren't we thankful that Jesus Christ is our personal Savior from the line of David, but we have become a part of the body of Christ because of the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? But he goes on, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God. And here's a key word, revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God, here it is again, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Who's without excuse? We are without excuse. Mankind is without excuse. The people that my son is preaching to in Brazil are without excuse. The people my son is preaching to, Mark, in India are without excuse. The people my son, Mike, is preaching in San Antonio. Boy, they're really without excuse. We're without excuse. Mankind is without excuse. Why are we without excuse? Because God has revealed himself to man. That's what these passages are telling us. God loved us, and he's revealed himself to man. Remember, man was created to have fellowship with God, to bring glory to him in that fellowship. And we're the ones that are sinners because of Adam's sin. And death passed upon all men. For that, say it, all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. But God loved us. And so he has sought to reveal himself to us. And of course, we know he did it first and foremost through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to say he revealed himself to us through his word. Because there's two aspects to his word. We have the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, if you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, why not today? I grew up in church, but I wasn't saved till I was 18 because nobody explained to me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to church isn't the key. Trying to live a righteous life is not a key. Even being baptized is not a key. I was baptized before I was saved. Salvation is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Jesus said it this way, you must be born again. And I'm afraid in our churches all across America, and yes, even around the world, there's a lot of people sitting there that haven't been born again. Because by their fruits you shall know them. If any man be in Christ, he'll be a new creature. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. And by the way, that's what we need in Washington, D.C., some born-again people. People have been changed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're not sure about it, you say, man, what's he talking about? There's a lot of people around here who love to talk to you about it. Don't question your salvation. Make sure you know you're going to heaven. Make sure you have the confidence that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But God not only revealed himself to man through Jesus Christ, but aren't we glad? He not only gave us the living word, he also gave us the written word. Because it says in verse 17, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Of course, that's just one passage it talks about. We have a whole book of the written word of God. I was saved reading the Bible, actually the book of Romans, Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And I purposed that I was going to believe what the Bible said, not what my parents said. They never told me the gospel. Not what my church said. They never told me the gospel. I was going to believe what God said, what the Bible. And you know what we need, folks? We need people to just get back to the book. You know what we need in our society? Just get back to the principles of God's word. Because we have been taught the truth of Jesus Christ through the written word of God. So God has revealed himself to man through his word. But secondly, look what it says down here in verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. In God has showed us that there is a God. You say, what do you mean God has showed us there's a God? When God created us, he breathed into man and he became a living soul. Now, why did God create us? To have fellowship with him. To bring glory. So there's something in us that cries out for that fellowship with a God. And by the way, that's why a lot of people go after false gods, not the real God. And that's why you'll see even in native lands, they have their gods. Because everybody's trying to fill a void that is put in them. Who put it there? God put it there. That's why when I worked in the secular world and was talking to people, you find out that there was something missing. I remember sitting around with some business people that were getting drunk, and I got all this money. I can't seem to get any satisfaction. My kids are bad. My marriage is a mess. And you'd think, man, they got everything money can buy. But they're miserable. Why? Because something in them says, I don't have what I really need. And why is it so many people are taking their life, and especially those who have so much? Nothing satisfies except Jesus Christ. And there's something inside of people that says, listen, there's more to life. God has created him. We sometimes will say a conscience that God has created us. I'm just telling you, man is a living soul and is going to live somewhere forever. And so we need to tell them how they can have that void filled through Jesus Christ. But there's a restlessness in man because of what God has put in them. And so God has not only revealed himself to man through his word, but also through his design of man. That man needs fellowship with God. But there's a third thing very clearly mentioned in verse 20. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. God has revealed himself to man through his amazing creation. How many of you have ever been to the Creation Museum? Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad somebody's finally said, okay, let's do something positive to take our young people to? And to really help them to understand the creation of man. It is hot. Why is not every doctor saved? When they evaluate this creation that God made, mankind, and how our body works and how it functions. I mean, any other machine or some sort of transportation mode or whatever, even just our little watch, if we think of that and we say that how well it works, we say there had to be a creator. And then if you look at man and you look at the universe and you see how it all fits together, there's a God. And God has revealed himself to man that way. I remember sitting there in that planetarium. I don't know how many of you went to the planetarium to lay back. And some people say, oh, those chairs are so comfortable. When you get there, you better be careful. You might fall asleep. Boy, not when you see how interesting everything is. And how they go away to where we don't even exist. And they're still not to the end of the universe. What is man that God is mindful of us? Isn't it amazing that God controls all that? His ways are past finding out because he's Almighty God. And there's many other ways that we could talk about God revealing himself to man, but the scriptures say, that's enough. You're without excuse. You're puny. You don't have any rights. God is the one who controls the universe. You need to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But then he goes on, and in verses 21 to 25, he talks about how man has responded to God's revelation. Do you see that? Let's read it. Because that when they knew God, in other words, God's revealed himself to them, they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. At verse 25, I have a word written. It's a philosophical term. Humanism. When we stop worshiping God as God and we start worshiping man as man, the creature rather than the Creator, that's humanism. And man has rejected God's revelation through humanism, humanistic thinking. And boy, our society is controlled by humanistic thinking, where we take God off the throne, we put man on the throne, and we say our goal is to fulfill the desires of man. And people are running around trying to do that, but I'm telling you what, they still have the void. They still don't have the peace that passeth all understanding. But humanism is a problem. But can I give you a couple more that I see in the passage? Look what it says in verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise. Intellectualism. Just give us enough time and money and we'll figure it out. And of course, in Washington, D.C., it's give us enough money and we'll solve the problem. Money won't solve the problem. I was talking this week to a couple members on immigration. I took a couple Hispanic leaders from the country up to meet some people. This was a vote on immigration this week, and there's actually some conservative Hispanics that don't like what the president has done and feel like there needs to be law and order in our land, and it's good for some of the people in Congress to hear from folks that have maybe a little different perspective than the liberal media has on the whole issue. And it was interesting to hear one member say, you know, we can solve the border security problem. We know how to do it. And of course, I said, if you don't, just go to Israel. They know how to do it. I've been there, Chip. I've had the privilege of going there and seeing that. And I've seen the fence. And they know how to do it in Israel. But they said the easiest thing to do in that comprehensive immigration thing when we're going through the negotiations and all the pressure was to get it done in the Senate. And by the way, it's going nowhere. Praise the Lord. But that when they were doing that was just to say, okay, well, we'll throw this much money at it. Well, you can throw money at things and it doesn't solve the problem. How much money have they thrown at education through the years? And home educating moms are doing a lot better than the Department of Education. I mean, it's amazing how people think we can figure it out, intellectualism, just to get a few more degrees and everything will work out. We'll all be okay. No, you know what we learn, right? Pastor, we learn there's a lot we don't know. And as a matter of fact, the more you learn, the more you know how little you know. And nothing wrong with education. But when you think you've got the answers, you've got a problem. Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. There's also this problem of idolatry. I mean, it says it so clearly in verse 23 that mankind changed the glory of God into corruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And we don't see a lot of that kind of idolatry in the United States of America, but any of us have had the privilege of traveling to the foreign countries around the world, we've seen the little potbelly statues. You know, we've seen the different things that they put outside on their doorpost and all the different things that are out there. They're idolatry, true idolatry. Of course, you can just go into certain religious organizations. You can see them in the front of their churches, too. You know, how sad. But let me just submit to you that we have our idols. Are you thinking about what am I preaching, or are you thinking about who's playing this afternoon? Because there's some people that the Colts are their idols. You know, and that's more important. Hey, we had some people in Kansas City, even though we never won, that had the Chiefs as their idols. And, you know, on the East Coast, you haven't made because the game start at 1 o'clock. So if Pastor's a good boy. In Central Time, that meant they started at noon. And I was never a good boy, as you probably find out today. But, you know, I have friends in Denver, the game started at 11 o'clock. And they would talk about how they could measure their attendance by whether the Broncos were in town or not. Now, what does that tell us, folks? What's most important? And hey, we all know that the love of money is the root of all evil. And if you weren't willing to give to your church today because you can't afford to, you have a problem. You have the love of money. Because we're to honor the Lord with the substance and with the first fruits of all of our income. The tithe is the Lord's. And I'm just saying, what's more important to us? Another car, a bigger house, more clothes? Am I giving you some illustrations how idolatry is present today, even in the United States of America? You see, my friends, man has rejected God and replaced God with themselves, or with intellectualism and studies, or with materialism, or whatever it might be. Man has rejected God's revelation. And what is the result of that? Now, here we're going to find out what the problem is. What's the result of that? Look what it says in verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between them. Who did that? God did that. God gave them up. In verse 26, it says, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What's the natural use? Childbearing, child rearing. A wonderful God-given blessing to ladies to minister for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ in so many different ways. And what's happened in our society? That which is against. Listen, prostitution is not what God wants. It's not natural. You know, pornography, that's big business, but it's not what God wants. And you would think there would be some women's organizations that'd be upset about that. Because that's really the merchandising of women. That's really the abuse of women. That's the unnatural use of the woman. And it's happening in our society because man has rejected God's revelation. Look what it says in verse 27. And likewise also men, leaving their natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another. Do you all know what's being talked about here? Homosexuality. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, which is commanded against in the book of Leviticus. And receiving themselves that recompense of the year which was meet. And I'm submitting to you, we're all receiving the recompense of the problems that are coming because of the confusion about even what marriage is. I hope you're praying the Supreme Court has agreed to take the case. This year, just this last week, they agreed to take the case to determine whether state constitutional amendments, which we passed in Missouri, which you all passed here in North Carolina, can stand against the wiles of the devil. And we need to pray that God would be merciful to us sinners. But what? Homosexuality is not natural, it's not normal, it's perverted. But God gives people up to do those kind of things because mankind has rejected God's revelation. Isn't that what he says in verse 28? I mean, he says it so clearly. And even as they did not like to retain who? God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness. And you can read for yourself the list of things. I categorize them into three areas. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now that's never been a problem before, has it? Just in the garden, when Satan tempted Adam and Eve and caused them to give in to flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Right? It's always what Satan's tried to use to get us to give in to sin. And man has given themselves over to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life because man has rejected God's revelation. And it's really a sad commentary, verse 32, when he says, who knowing the judgment of God. Now, how can he say that? He says that because remember there's something manifest in them. God created us to have a relationship. God created us a spiritual being, even though we're not spiritual. Because he wanted to have fellowship with us. He wanted us to live and bring glory to him. He says, even though they understand what they're doing is wrong, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. Misery loves company. And that's why when I was in the business world and seeking to live for the Lord, people would make comments and people would say things and people make fun of you. Because just your presence is convicting to people when you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when you get saved and you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, I have people, what am I going to do now? You know, I want to win my friends. Yeah, go win your friends, but guess what? You'll find out that a lot of your friends will change because they don't want to be around you anymore. They don't want to hear of what the Lord has done for you. That's the problem. Sometimes we go at what the results are instead of the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is man has rejected God's revelation. And until we get back to God's revelation, we're not going to see problem sound. But let me remind you of something. God's word works. May I say that one more time? If you haven't learned this yet, you ought to learn this. God's word works. Now, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good. It works. God's word works. Can I tell you something? God's word works for the saved. God's word works for the unsaved. I remember my days in the business world after I trusted the Lord and I started growing in the Lord, and I'd see things and I'd say, man, that's what I'm learning in management class. You know why management uses it? Not because it's biblical. You know why they're using it? Because it works. You know why it works? Because it's scripture. God's truth works. God's the one that's in control of the universe. God knows what works and he wants the best for his children. And he tells us what works. Man doesn't use things because it's biblical, but they will use it when it works. And God's word works. And Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Therefore, we have laws. And Romans chapter 13, you can read it for yourself, says that those that are in government are ministers of God for good. And the responsibility of ministers in government is to bring good upon those that do good and evil upon those that do evil. And of course, part of that is determining what is good and evil. And that's the problem. We have people that don't understand the difference in what's happening in our society right now, even as we speak. Some people are bringing evil upon those that do good and good upon those that do evil. And it needs to change. So what's the remedy? What's the remedy for this rejection of God's revelation? I'm going to submit to you three things. And I'm putting them in a form that I hope that you'll remember, because I'm giving them to you in alliteration form. And I like alliterations to remember things. That's the only, sometimes it doesn't work. It works this time, okay? Do you know what alliteration is? They're all going to start with the letter P. And so you can write them down, but I think you can remember them. What's the remedy? Number one, it is proclamation. Number one, it is proclamation. It is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the foolishness of preaching that men and women are saved. And whether it's done in a pulpit or whether it's done in a McDonald's over a cup of coffee, or it's done at your office, or it's done at your neighbor's house, we need to tell people about Jesus Christ. We can't be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to get people changed through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you ever think our nation is going to be corrected through politics. Not going to happen. It's going to happen through the proclamation of the Word of God. And we cannot be ashamed about the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I ask you something? Are there unsaved people in Brazil, where Matt is? Are there unsaved people in India, where Mark is? I happen to know Jonathan Latham very well, as you know, as we work very closely. And are there unsaved people in Mexico? But let me ask, are there unsaved people in the United States of America? Are there unsaved people in your neighborhood? Are there unsaved people in Washington, D.C.? Oh, you say, hey, man, there's a lot of them there. They're all over. And if I could get some people to spend as much time proclaiming as they do politicking, it'd be amazing. Not, as you know, I'm involved, so stick with me. You're gonna hear some more. But it starts with Jesus Christ and making sure we're not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we go, whoever we talk to. It takes proclamation. Number two, it takes participation. You say, well, participation and proclamation. No, participation in the God-given system that God has given us here in the United States of America. Do you realize how blessed we are today? One of the sad things about our educational system, they're not teaching government. They're not teaching the founding fathers. They're not helping people to understand. These were God-fearing people. You go to the Capitol Rotunda, and you look at the signing of the Constitution, and you see all those people that they're signing, and over 30 of them were preachers who were proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were trying to put a form of government in place that God could bless and God could use. And we, the people, are supposed to be the government, because we, the people, are the church. The building's not the church, we're the church. And the Holy Spirit resides within us. And we, the people, have the right to vote, because we, the people, should have the Holy Spirit within us, according to the founders, so that the Holy Spirit could guide us in how we would vote. And the sad thing is, less than 50% of those, quote, evangelical Christians even vote. And then we want to complain about our problem. And God has given us the freedom to participate so that we could vote and put the right kind of people into office that might get a clue. Now, I understand sometimes it's the best of two bad people, okay? You have to do the best you can. And I understand we don't always have the best candidates. May I say to you, as somebody that studies this and understands this, this last election, we had some of the best candidates when it came to righteous issues that we have had in a long time. Pray that we'll have the same thing in the presidential election. I visited three offices where some of us that were know these people in Congress were involved, and we had three born-again Christians that were elected to office that are now serving because people got involved in their local communities to get them there. Thanks to you, we have a conservative instead of a liberal. And I'm talking about clear difference in the Senate. A senator from North Carolina, and I was in his office as well, because we're so blessed to have that type of person that understands these issues in a different way than most people understand them. We need to participate. That's one of the reasons I started this organization called Advance USA. And there's some brochures back there, and on your way to eat, you might want to pick them up. And why I'm going around the country looking for people I call ambassadors. Biblical term. People that will be ambassadors for Jesus Christ from local communities. They'll get to know their members of Congress. People that represent churches or represent businesses or represent groups in their community that will be willing to also represent Jesus Christ in Washington, D.C. to participate. Hey, I have a nephew who became a county councilman. Brother Lyda and I have a friend. Is he still our friend, Paul? Yeah. Who retired from education and is now a county councilman in Greenville County, South Carolina. I was telling Pastor, they have a prayer caucus in Washington, D.C. that Randy Forbes heads up from the state of Virginia. And they have 75, what he would call, evangelical Christians. And he says, but I have 100 to 125 that participate, because some of the rest of them just want prayer to help them, you know. But that know these people personally. And now, by the grace of God, one of the members of Congress who was a part of that, a very strong evangelical believer, has become the senator from Oklahoma, and he has decided to start a prayer caucus in the Senate, where we've never had one, never that I know of, because of the number of senators that he wants to get together praying. I'm saying that there may be some people, somebody sitting here in this auditorium that's called to even run for office. Oh, how terrible. How terrible that somebody would choose to get into politics. Well, if you don't like the term, be a statesman or a stateswoman and take a stand for righteousness, because it's going to get worse unless we get better people. And we have to participate in the process to get those better people. We ought to be thankful. They didn't have that opportunity in Jesus' day. But he still told them, be salt, be light. Help preserve this world. That's what salt was used to. Help to send forth the truth. Show the way, the light. The light set on a hill. Seems like I heard a president even talking about that. Jesus was the first one to talk about it. So we need to, well, number one, what? Proclaim. Number two, we need to participate. And number three, we must pray. We must pray. And I think we should pray without ceasing, so that's why you ought to be praying while you're proclaiming. You ought to be praying while you're participating. But you ought to be praying specifically for the United States of America. Paul told Timothy, as a young preacher, teach people to pray for the government, for those that have authority, that men and women might be saved, that we might be able to live peaceable lives. And I'm telling you, friends, if we don't get involved, it won't be long. We'll be persecuted more than we even are today. And our freedoms will be taken away if we don't get involved and participate the way God wants us to participate. 2 Chronicles 7:14, of course, talking to the children of Israel, but applying it even to the body of Christ today. If my people, which are called by thy name, shall do what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And don't forget this one. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, but preacher, you can't legislate righteousness. Oh, yes, you can. And oh, yes, we do. Somebody does. Laws and orders. Who says that 55 miles per hour is the right speed limit? I mean, it's obviously the wrong speed limit. Nobody drives it. But somebody legislated it and said, this is right and this is wrong. Listen, that's what government does. That's what government was established to do. God said to Jesus, you don't want this government. But if you say you got to get it, the prophet said, this is not good. But if that's what you want, I'll give it to you. And here's what's going to happen. And it's happened, but God ordained it. We have it, and it's government that's supposed to determine those laws of what's right and wrong. Who's the government? We, the people, are the government. And the people we send to represent us are legislating morality. One of the big issues right now is legalizing marijuana. It's happening in a lot of states. You should be thankful that one of the people who's involved in trying to stop this is John Fleming, Dr. John Fleming. A congressman from Louisiana that just happens, by the grace of God, to represent Southwind Christian Camp and Conference Center, where Michael is now the director. And John Fleming, a doctor, is one of those that is pointing out all the problems that come from marijuana, besides just what happens of getting people addicted to drugs. But it's an issue being fought right now. Well, people don't even know that it's going on because there's money involved in taxing it and selling it and all the other things. And who knows what's going to happen, but if we don't get some more John Flemings up there, I know what's going to happen. And if we don't get a president that's going to appoint the right Supreme Court justices, because you know what's happening now, Congress is passing the laws and presidents are not enforcing them, and they're going to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court's calling them unconstitutional. And who appoints Supreme Court justices? 216 is coming, folks. Participate. You know, when people get saved, they vote different. Did you know that? They see things from a different perspective. They look at them that the big issues aren't the money issues, they're the moral issues. And so we need to see more people saved, more people that are saved out voting, to be able to see more people who are saved being willing to run for office and being able to be the government that's determining what are the right laws and the wrong laws that we need to have in our society. But we, the people of God, must humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from His wicked ways. Then will we hear from heaven, forgive His sin, and heal His land. You know, there's been people who have tried to order government around and order God around. And we're gonna get rid of you if you don't vote. Remember, only by pride cometh contention. And God resists the... And we're supposed to do what? Humble ourselves. I'm telling you, I'm embarrassed by the way some Christians conduct themselves in dealing with people in Washington, D.C. We're Christians before we're anything else. And our speech should always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Because the message will offend. I tell people, if my message offends, I don't apologize, but if my manner offends, I'm sorry. Because we can be gracious even when we're telling somebody they're wrong. But I'm telling you, my friends, we need some prophets to go before kings today with the message, you art the man, you art the woman. And some things need to change. By God's grace, I want to be one of those. But I'm hoping, with the years that I have left, to find some others around the country. And I hope that you will not only pray for our country, but you'll pray for me and for the ministry of Advance USA as we seek to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in a very dark part of our country, Washington, D.C., but where the light still shines by the grace of God. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you always have a solution to the problems. And you've chosen to use men, and I'm thankful that you've used great men through the years to accomplish your purposes here on this earth. And I'm sorry for how we have failed you so often. And I'm sorry for how this world in general has rejected you. But help us not to grow weary in well-doing. Help us to be faithful until Jesus comes. Please, Lord, cause us to be a people who will proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, participate in the wonderful process you've given us here in the United States of America, and pray without ceasing for a nation that needs to turn back to you. Please, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and to our nation who has grievously sinned against you, and bring forth the revival in our hearts and in our country that we need, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ.